when we gather around to the Corinthians, we'll say that Jesus has not been raised from the dead. We, of all people, we're the most to be pitied. We are the most to be despised. If, and he will write this, 1 Corinthians 15:19, if for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Hope in Christ. What is your specific hope? Jesus was reminding us for a battle. It is to win the battle. Jesus was reminding for a tower. It is a tower that will stand for generations. And for the hope, specifically, what is your hope that you're having? And moving beyond that to taking that next letter, that M, specific for M, is that how are you going to measure? How are you going to measure your specific hope? How do you measure hope? Well, that idea that Jesus has about counting the cost, waging a battle, sending out a delegation. This is how you measure hope. And again, it's not pie in the sky thinking. It's actual hope generating, establishing these parameters of hope in your own life. Very, very easily asking, where's the Holy Spirit leading me? Where's the Holy Spirit leading me to be a more hope-filled person? Yeah, I may find myself with the same car that has that tendency to break down. I may find myself in the same career that is constantly changing. I may find myself in the same school with new methods, new courses. Speaking as a dad, those new methods, they give me a lot of trouble in math. But how do you do this? How do you measure? How do you set those parameters of hope when you look around and it seems like there's a lot of stuff that is staying the same? That's what Jesus says. It's the idea of a battle. You send out a delegation. And what is our delegation? It's doing some of the things that we're doing right now. It's praying, searching the scriptures. It's receiving that encouragement from others. Finding out where those boundaries of hope are increasing. This is how we as people of God measure hope. After our specific goal of hope and measuring our hope, asking where is the Holy Spirit leading us, and then we move to that idea, is it something that is achievable? We talk about a whole lot of things that are going to be beyond our wildest dreams and imagination. We talk about what it is going to be like to live in the kingdom of heaven. But even right now, what is achievable in this lifetime? Notice what Jesus says about building a tower. That the foundation is there, and on that foundation, the entire tower will determine the rest of what that tower, how high it can reach to the sky, how much is achievable. That's that aha moment that we have. When we have done that, when we have prayed and we have sought that specific place for hope in our lives, when we have measured and seen that there are some parameters that maybe we were too boxed in, but now we see them expanding, and then asking, what is that aha moment that God has met us with? Again, not pie in the sky thinking, not just words, but what is achievable here and now? And then what's relevant? That's that R of smart. Why are we talking about relevance? Well, I had to. This is one of those things that for several years I was completely unaware of. But relevance, that etymology of it, the origin of that word is actually raising up, is what relevant means. It's not the way I'd use it a lot of times in conversation, but it's raising up. Again, Jesus counting the cost. Tower is literally going from foundations to the sky. Battle is raising up more and more victories. Hope. As relevant as our own optimism begins raising about what is possible. What is possible now? What's possible next? That's relevant. That's raising up. And finally, what's timely? Is that hope that's being generated in us, does it stay with us after Sunday morning? Does it last longer than a week? Does it last beyond the aspirations, as inspiring as they can be in this very moment? Does it stay with us? And this is why I think it's so vital for us to have this kind of process of setting goals that increase our hope, because things are going to break down. Things will fall apart. People will move on. Our best intentions sometimes won't last very long. And I know with goals and I know with acronyms and talk about hope, I just want to invite you to always be smart and willing to see where God is moving. And remember that in all this talk about goals and all this talk about SMART goals and acronyms and everything, remember this too, that God is present with us. Several years ago, it was a worship team. Several years ago, I was serving a church. I was pastoring a church. And we had a few things happen, as things will happen in churches. They happen in businesses. They happen in organizations. But we lost our entire worship team except for one person who very quickly told us, he said, "You know what? I'm a team player." And he says, "I'm not a leader." Because us, as leaders, you know where we wanted to put him. You know where we wanted to stick him. We wanted to put him up front to be the leader. And he quickly told us, he says, "I'm not a leader." And he says, "Do y'all still want me? Do y'all still want me to be here? Do you still want me to play?" And he says, "Yep." And we had to go behind the scenes and we had to get real creative about how we're going to use this team player when he's up there alone on Sunday morning. There's no other team that's around. And I know y'all are laughing, I know y'all are smiling, but this story gets even better because he came into church. Mike was a guy that always got to church before the preacher, so he was there early, and he was in church there. And he told us, he had been telling us for a couple of weeks about his car trouble and some of the trouble that he'd had with his car. And then he told us, he said, "My car died this week." He said, "I got a friend brought me to church." He said, "I got a friend that brought me to church," and then I was thinking in my mind, "And your friend got up early and brought you to church." Now, Mike was a musician. Wild stab at it. Do you want to know who Mike's friends were? Other musicians. Do you know what musicians do a lot of times on Friday night and Saturday night? They play. They play music, and they play in venues that are open extraordinarily late, but Mike had a friend that brought him to church on that Sunday morning. He was there, and he was there early. And so when Mike told us that his car died and that his musician friend had brought him to church and dropped him off, we immediately went to work in the church. We had had a ministry that provided cars for people, but we had lost, tragically and unexpectedly, we had lost our lead mechanic in that ministry too. And so we said, "What can we do?" And we started doing those things that my grandmother said, it's the only thing that you can do. You got to go out and you got to shake the bushes. Now, I don't know if that's a phrase that, I won't say that around our children because they probably never heard it. But you got to go out and you got to shake the bushes. So we started doing that. And so Mike worked in retail. In the middle of us moving around and trying to think and making sure that we can support Mike and that we can offer hope to Mike and everything in that situation. And as we were shaking the bushes, a customer that Mike didn't know all that well said, "Well, Mike, if you need a car, I got one. I'll give it to you." And he gave him that car. Now, it was beat up, and it was used, and there were some things, that there were adjustments that Mike and the rest of his friends, they had to make to that car like that. But he was happy, and I'll tell you again, Mike had gotten there early on a Sunday morning. Preacher comes dragging in, and he's out there in the parking lot, and it's just starting to drizzle rain, and Mike takes out Flex Seal. Now, I know that every single person in this room knows what Flex Seal is. Even if you've cut the cord with satellite and cable, you still come across the commercials. You know what Flex Seal is. You know the powers that it says that it has. Miraculous, almost. But he's out there with a can of Flex Seal. I didn't know you could get it in a spray can, but it was in a spray can. It was painted black. Mike's car that had been given to him had a sunroof, and when it rained on top of that car, Mike would get baptized inside his car as the rain was coming down. And so he was there on Sunday morning before leading our worship as a team player, not the leader, but he was spraying Flex Seal around the top of his sunroof to keep the rain off of him as he drove home. And he was doing it with a smile on his face. So all of our moments of generating hope, all of our attempts to set goals at times, don't ever forget, sometimes God shows up and moves in a miraculous way in our lives. And it is the one thing, no matter what we do, we can always count on and we can always depend on. And so don't ever underestimate the power of God moving in our world. Hope really is the difference. No matter what polls say, hope is the difference in all of our lives, especially when God is moving. Let's bow our heads. We thank you, Almighty and everlasting God, for you who have made a way in so many of our own lives and, Lord, in ways that you have made in the lives of complete strangers to us. Lord, we do thank you for our blessings, and we pray, Lord, that you will raise up hope in our own lives, that you will begin to generate hope here at Grace Point, and Lord, that it may spread, not only in our family and our friends, but Lord, that it may spread around this world. Because we recognize, oh God, that there is a deficiency of hope. And we know that for hope, for those who hope in Christ, that, Lord, it means life overcoming death. Lord, as we prepare to come to your table this morning, we pray and ask that you may examine our hearts, Lord. We pray and ask that as we confess our sins to you and before one another, that you, O God, may freely forgive us and prepare us to come to your table. We pray and we ask this all in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. And I would like to invite all of you to prepare